Theses number 5, a gregarious species.
We humans are a social species. We're at our best when living and working within small teams. We may be generous, but larger groups can make us feel uncomfortable, and crowds often frighten us. Our sociability enables us to solve problems collaboratively in ways which, as competitive individuals, we couldn't do on our own. The work of the world gets done in teams. From the beginning, it seems we humans needed company. It's not good that man should be alone, God is reputed to have thought through whilst observing Adam in the Garden of Eden. The poet John Donne claimed in 1624 that no man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. The more complex the neocortex, that part of the mammalian brain that deals mainly with social skills, the more complex the relationship that species can handle. We humans are at the top of that particular scale of ability. An alpha male chimpanzee may lord it over its extended harem and associated hangers-on, but it is not in the same league as a social manipulator, as is a prime minister at question time in the House of Commons. Fascinating clues as to how humans first learnt to collaborate were discovered by archaeologists in the Sterkfontein Caves north of Johannesburg in South Africa. Until 1.5 million years ago, it seems, the calcified bones of the humans all appeared to have been chewed up, while the bones of the big cats were almost intact. Quite simply, until then, we humans were the hunted. But then the sequence changed. The bones of the wild animals appear to have had the meat cut off them with flint knives, but the human bones remained largely intact. Humans ceased being the hunted and became the hunters. How? It was not through any ability to use formal language, for that only came about 150,000 years ago. It seems that it's to do with empathy. The ability to empathize enables us to read our neighbors' faces and note their body language, so making it possible to understand what they're thinking and what they intend to do next. An increase in the brain's cognitive complexity also makes it possible for our ancestors to think so intentionally that they're able to organize themselves into groups of very superior hunters. Empathy is the core of our social skills. Something else follows. We humans think better in terms of stories and pictures than we do in terms of words or abstract concepts. There is a tension within our social brain between deep friendships and wide-ranging relationships. We find it pleasant and rewarding to work with groups of about a dozen people. There are 11 people on a football team, 15 in a rugby team, 12 people on a jury, and there were 12 disciples. Psychologists report that none of us is ever likely to grieve deeply for more than about that number of people, for it seems that the wellsprings of human sympathy are not bottomless. Management consultants are quick to suggest that we work most effectively when we have no more than 10 or 12 people answering to us. Once comfortable within the smaller group, it seems we can form working relationships of group up to about 150 people. In the forests of Brazil, tribal groups reaching this number tend to break down into two separate groups, or virtually disintegrate due to internal feuds. This is the flip side of our sociability. Frustrated with each other, we can be extremely vicious. Remember, Cain killed his brother Abel. The most dangerous challenge to our prehistoric ancestors, as to ourselves today, comes from fellow humans. It is learning and social ability that makes us human. It is through the work we do that we slowly build up social capital, those tangible substances of goodwill, fellowship, and social intercourse that count most in our daily lives. It is through what we can do that we come to be appreciated by our colleagues. It is also why unemployment, or perhaps even worse, being employed far below our capabilities, is so demoralizing and potentially life-threatening. In a study of Whitehall's civil servants several years ago, those with the highest responsibilities had the best health, while those in the lowest ranks had the highest mortality rates. Work is not just about getting paid. It's about making a contribution to improving the general well-being of the community to which the individual belongs or wishes to belong. The community as a whole benefits from the cooperation of all its parts, and consequently the individual will be enormously strengthened by the reciprocal bonds of sociability.